This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, everyone. Sorry for being a few minutes late today. Inshallah, I'll give you guys a chance to log on. So let's see, as soon as it hits about 500 viewers, inshallah, we will start. Hope you guys are doing well. Hope your Ramadan is, inshallah, fruitful, and you're achieving all the goals that you had hoped to achieve, inshallah. All right, 124, 160, 200, 246. Okay, almost there. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. Ramadan Mubarak to you guys. Inshallah. I'm actually looking at you guys' comments for a change, so. Alright. We hit 432. Alright. Assalamu alaikum, guys. Okay. So, inshallah. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. So, we're in Juz 12, and subhanAllah, this is particularly beautiful, obviously, because we get to scratch the surface with Surah Yusuf. We get to start with Surah Yusuf in Juz 12. But before we do that, inshallah, Ta'ala, just to recap, Juz 11, we finished with the end of a Tawbah, we finished with Surah Yunus, and we get into Surah Hud. Surah At-Tawbah, obviously, as we said, was completely Madani, and then it took us back to the end of Mecca. So everything here, these surahs, the sequence of surahs, came to the Prophet ﷺ to give him some perspective on what he was facing in Mecca, and to give the believers as well some perspective, and obviously to serve as a warning to those that were turning the Prophet ﷺ out and turning the believers out of Mecca and oppressing them. So this surah, this chapter has a lot of perspective, and it comes with a lot. But subhanAllah, I want to point out to you guys just a couple of gems just to start with. If you look at Surah Yunus, and you look at Surah Hud, and you look at Surah Yusuf, all three of those surahs begin with an ayah about the Qur'an. So all three of those surahs begin with an ayah about the Qur'an. So we mentioned Surah Yunus, Alif Lam Ra, Tilka Ayatul Kitab Al-Hakim. The first verse of Surah Yunus is that these are the verses of the wise book. So Allah alludes to the wisdom of the book. Tilka ayatul kitab al-hakim. In Surah Hud, the next surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Alif lam ra, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives some more details into what exactly that hikmah means. Kitabun uhkimat ayatuhu thumma fussilat min ladun hakim and khabir. So it is a book whose verses were perfected and then presented in detail from one who is wise and acquainted. So in Surah Yunus, Allah alludes to the source, that the source of this book is wisdom, that the verses are of wisdom. In Surah Hud, the next surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about how perfected the verses are and then how they were presented as well in detail from one who is wise and acquainted. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alludes to his wisdom, and he alludes to the presentation, the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the book. And then the next surah, which is Surah Yusuf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Alif Lam Ra, Tilka Ayatul Kitab Al Mubin, that these are the verses of the clear book. So I'm going to say this again, alright? Surah Yunus, Allah alludes to the wisdom. Surah Hud, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alludes to the wisdom and the presentation. And then Surah Yusuf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala focuses on the clarity, the presentation of it. So it's interesting because you have a smooth transition point. And obviously all three of these surahs also start off with Alif Lam Ra. And there have been many, many, many attempts to try to understand the wisdom of Alif Lam Ra in particular. Or the Muqatta'at, the disjointed letters in general. But subhanAllah, it's obviously... there obviously is a connection that all three of these surahs start off with the exact same disconnected letters in Alif, Lam, Ra. So there's a connection between these surahs in the way they start and explaining the Quran in the tone that they have, in the time period that they were revealed. These were the most difficult moments of the Prophet ﷺ's life. Now, we said about Surah Hud in particular, all right? Surah Hud in particular. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu noticed that the Prophet ﷺ had some gray hairs popping up all of a sudden. So he said, Ya Rasulullah, qad asra' ilayka shayb. O Messenger of Allah, we've noticed that that there is gray hair that's suddenly overcoming you. And the Prophet ﷺ said, Shayyabatni Hud wa akhawatuha. Hud and its sisters gave me gray hair. What about Surah Hud in particular? Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, the most difficult ayah that was ever revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Surah Hud was, فَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتْ وَمَنْ تَابَ مَعَكْ وَلَا تَطْغَوْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, so stay firm as you have been commanded, and those who have turned back with you as well. So you and the believers, stay firm on the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا تَطْغَوْ, and do not turn away. Verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all aware of all that you do. So this was the most difficult ayah. Allah, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu says, there was never an ayah that was revealed to the Prophet ﷺ that was more severe, okay, and more troubling to him than this particular verse. Because this is a warning to the believers themselves. You see, there's a warning to those that are turning away the Prophet ﷺ and those that are turning away the believers, and a warning of punishment to them. And this is a dominant theme in how Allah addresses them in this situation, because it's the last call to them. It's the last warning to them. But then there's the warning to the believers themselves to stay firm. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here is warning the Prophet ﷺ, فَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتِ. You stay firm as you've been commanded. You're going to go through Ta'if, you're going to go through the death of Khadija radiallahu anha, the death of Abu Talib, the persecution's only going to increase. Stay put, stay firm as Allah commanded you, and those who have turned to Allah as well, the repenters and the believers as well. So the threat or the admonishing is to the believers themselves, that don't buckle to the pressure that you are now facing on the outside. So subhanAllah, this ayah, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said, out of all the ayat that made the Prophet ﷺ cry, we mentioned Surah An-Nisa, the verses that made the Prophet ﷺ's eyes well with tears, right? So the verse, فَكَيْفَ إِذَا جِئْنَا مِنْ كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ بِشَهِيدٍ وَجِئْنَا بِكَ عَلَى هَؤُلَاءِ شَهِيدًا, where Allah mentions him bringing the Prophet ﷺ as a witness upon all of the nations. But here the warning is to the Prophet ﷺ and to the believers themselves. So this is the most difficult ayah and of the most difficult surahs. What are the sisters of Hud? When the Prophet ﷺ says, شَيَّبَتْنِي هُود وَأَخَوَاتُهَا, that Hud turned my hair gray and its sisters. The sisters of Hud, in another hadith which is also authentic, the Prophet ﷺ said, are الْوَاقِعَ الْمُرْسَلَاتِ النَّبَى and التَّكْوِير. Al-Waqi'a, Surah Al-Mursalat, Al-Naba, and Al-Takwir. Why? Because these four surahs are like Surah Hud, okay? In that they detail the punishment and they detail the Day of Judgment and the scene on the Day of Judgment that is a very traumatic scene. So the Prophet ﷺ said these four surahs are the sisters of Hud. They are the akhawat, the sisters of Surah Hud. So Surah Hud is a difficult surah on the Prophet ﷺ, and it contains the most difficult ayah ever revealed to the Prophet ﷺ. Why? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this surah goes through the stories of many, many prophets, particularly the prophets whose nations were destroyed. So all of the prophets that Allah mentions in this surah, and He mentions them in succession, are prophets whose nations were destroyed. And of course, this was a warning to Quraysh, and the Prophet ﷺ did not want to see his people in Mecca being destroyed. So who is the first nation? What's the first nation on earth that was destroyed? Okay, you guys think about it. What's the first nation on earth that was destroyed? Let me see if I can find it in the comments, inshallah. I'm actually going to look at the comments. The first nation, the first people that committed shirk, and the first nation that was actually destroyed. Does anyone know? Nuh alayhi salam. Very good. So the people of Nuh alayhi salam. So even though it's called Surah Hud, Noah is the first story, the story of Nuh alayhi salam. And particularly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talking about the challenge of the people of Nuh alayhi salam to him to bring the punishment of Allah. So before Hud is even spoken about, Nuh alayhi salam is spoken about. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in verses 25 to 35, he mentions the address of Nuh alayhi salam to his qawm when he called upon them, O my people. And he called upon them to worship Allah and to abandon the idols. And his people challenged him. They said, you know what? Go ahead and bring the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَأْتِنَا بِمَا تَعِدُنَا. Go ahead and bring it. Stop telling us about the punishment of Allah. Just go ahead and tell Allah to punish us. We're sick of hearing you. Come to us with your jidad, with your arguments, with your proofs. Just go ahead and bring the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon that. So this is a very, very similar situation to Quraysh. They mock the Prophet ﷺ with the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala command Nuh alayhi salam to do? He commanded him to build the ark. So the first details of Noah's ark actually come in this surah. The first details of Noah's ark come in this surah between verses 36 and 39. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanding Nuh alayhi salam to build that safina, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would save the people that are with Nuh alayhi salam, and everyone else would be destroyed. Some of the ulama, they said that the number of people on the safina of Nuh alayhi salam are equal to the number of believers that immigrated, that migrated with the Prophet ﷺ to Medina. So some of them actually said there's a parallel here. And there's some riwayat, there's some narrations that could correlate that. Okay, that the number of Meccans, the number of Muslims that went with the Prophet ﷺ in the hijrah to Medina, that made hijrah with him, are equal to the number of people that were with Nuh alayhi salam. So there's a very strong parallel here that only those who are with the Prophet ﷺ would be saved, and everyone else would face the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this situation. So with Nuh alayhi salam, you find the command to build the ark. You find Nuh alayhi salam gathering the people in Surah Hud into the verses that come in the 40s. Nuh alayhi salam gathering the people on his ark. And you also see the dialogue between Nuh alayhi salam and his son, which is the most painful part of this. That your own family refuses to come on board. Your own family refuses to be saved. And this is a very, very difficult, difficult situation for Nuh alayhi salam. And it correlates to the most difficult loss to the Prophet ﷺ after Khadija radiallahu anha was Abu Talib. So his own uncle, his own family members. In fact, even the brother of Khadija radiallahu anha was fighting him and oppressing him. His own uncles, the Prophet ﷺ's daughters were engaged to the two children of Abu Lahab, Utbah and Utaybah. And they both, Abu Lahab commanded them both to divorce the daughters of the Prophet ﷺ, or to break the engagement off with Ruqayyah and Kulthum. So the Prophet ﷺ's own two son-in-laws, right, his uncle, all of them are turning away from him, alayhi salatu wasalam. And he's appealing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's appealing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Abu Talib. What did he say to Abu Talib? He said, Ya Am, give me, O my uncle, give me one word that I can argue on your behalf on the Day of Judgment with. Just give me that, ilaha illallah, and I can argue on your behalf on the Day of Judgment. So it was the most painful part with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And here Allah mentions the dialogue between Nuh alayhi salam and his own son. When Nuh alayhi salam is calling his son and telling him to come forth, and his son says, Sa'awi ila jabalin ya'asimuni min al-ma', he says, no, I'm going to stick to a mountain that will protect me from the flood. So his son staying behind, and the heartbreak of Nuh alayhi salam when he pleads with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that in ibni min ahli, that my son is from my family. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling Nuh alayhi salam that his son would be amongst those who would be destroyed. So there's a very close correlation to what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is facing, that his own family members have chosen to turn back and have refused to come on board with him as he makes his hijrah to Medina, as he escapes that persecution. And of course the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes upon them. So Allah first mentions Nuh alayhi salam, the first prophet to call people, or the first prophet who dealt with a generation of shirk, a generation of people associating partners with Allah, Nuh alayhi salam calling his people, and the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala coming to them, including his own son. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions Hud alayhi salam. Hud alayhi salam addressing his people, bringing them all sorts of proofs his people becoming aggressive with him. So from verse 50 to 60, you find Hud alayhi salam. And subhanAllah, it's almost like a set of like 10 ayat or so per prophet. Hud alayhi salam calling upon his people. And his people, and you know, of Ad being so arrogant. SubhanAllah, so arrogant. And the imagery is should not be lost here. Nuh alayhi salam's son is standing on a mountaintop and telling his father that I'm going to stick here because it will save me from the flood. Hud alayhi salam standing on al-Ahqaf, standing on a mountaintop, calling his people and saying nothing is going to save you from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the imagery should not be lost here of the son of Noah and Hud alayhi salam with two opposing messages. And of course, we find with Hud alayhi salam that the punishment of Allah came to his people. So Allah mentions Hud, he mentions the rejection from the people, and he mentions the punishment. Then Allah mentions Salih, and Hud and Salih and Shu'aib, these are the original Arabs. These are the pre-Abraham Arabs. Okay, so these are the original Arabs. So Allah mentions these prophets that are the original Arab. And Salih alayhi salam addressing his people. And just like with Hud alayhi salam, Salih finds rejection. Allah mentions the rejection and Allah mentions the punishment. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you continue onwards, and I'm going to skip a section and I'll come back to it. The ayat between 69 and 77, which talk about Ibrahim alayhi salam, I want to come back to it. Okay, so the theme goes from Hud, then it goes to Salih. Then in verse 77 to 83, it goes to Lut alayhi salam. Lut alayhi salam, calling his people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And warning his people. Lut's people becoming aggressive with him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioning their disbelief. And Allah mentions the punishment of the people of Lut alayhi salam. And then Allah mentions from verse 84, Shu'aib alayhi salam, calling his people. Shu'aib's people rejected him. And Allah mentions the consequences. And finally, Allah mentions Fir'aun. Okay? So look, Allah is mentioning, subhanAllah, all these prophets and just quickly giving us a snippet of the call, the response, the punishment. The call, the response, the punishment. And with Fir'aun, very short ayat. Again, about 11 ayat. The call to Fir'aun, the rejection of Fir'aun, the punishment to Fir'aun. And so these are the evil people that are mentioned in succession here, right? And the way that they rejected and they turned away. There is a lot of correlation here. With Fir'aun in particular, Abu Jahl is like Fir'aun. So Abu Jahl is the equivalent of Fir'aun in this ummah. The Prophet ﷺ called him the Pharaoh of this ummah. And subhanAllah, just like with Fir'aun, who would be the first to be humiliated and destroyed by the drowning, by the Red Seas coming upon him, right, and coming upon his army, Abu Jahl would die in the first bunch, in the first batch, that would come after the Prophet ﷺ and the believers in the Battle of Badr. So Abu Jahl would be humiliated and disgraced in the same way that Fir'aun was. And so he is, of course, the one who's organizing the boycott, the one who's really, really carrying out oppression at the highest level to the Prophet ﷺ. So throughout Surah Hud, again, there's a prophet that's mentioned, there is the rejection, and then there is the punishment that comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The only bushra, the only glad tidings that's given in this entire surah, and it's beautiful because it ties into the next surah, is from verse 69 to 76 or 77, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ جَاءَتْ رُسُلُنَا إِبْرَاهِيمَ بِالْبُشْرَى قَالُوا سَلَامًا قَالَ سَلَامٌ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the angels going to the house of Ibrahim alayhi salam and Sarah, and giving him the glad tidings of who? Of Ishaq alayhi salam. Right? They were on their way to destroy the people of Lut, who are mentioned in the next section here. But on the way to destroy the people of Lut, they met Abraham, they met Ibrahim alayhi salam and Sarah, and they gave Ibrahim alayhi salam and Sarah the glad tidings of who? They gave them the glad tidings of Ishaq and also Ya'qub. So Allah mentions, وَامْرَأَتُهُ قَائِمَةٌ فَضَحِكَتْ, that his wife Sarah was standing and she laughed. Whenever the glad tidings came to Ibrahim alayhi salam, she laughed hysterically and she says, فَبَشَّرْنَاهَا بِإِسْحَاقَ وَمِنْ وَرَائِ إِسْحَاقَ يَعْقُوبُ. We gave her the glad tidings of Ishaq and after Ishaq, Ya'qub. We gave Ibrahim and Sarah the glad tidings of Abraham and of Jacob. And the next surah is now Jacob and his son, Yaqub and Yusuf. So subhanAllah, the only bushra that we find in this entire surah is the bushra, the glad tiding of Yaqub alayhi salam. And Yaqub alayhi salam is a heavy subject matter in the next surah, which is about his son Yusuf alayhi salam. So we then go into Surah Yusuf. Okay? And how do we connect Yunus, Hud, and Yusuf? Yunus alayhi salam, he became frustrated with his people. And he left his people, and his people came back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Yunus alayhi salam left his people, and his people came back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hud alayhi salam, he stayed with his people, but his people never came back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yusuf alayhi salam was abandoned by his family. Yet Yusuf alayhi salam rose to power, and his people also repented. So basically, with Yunus alayhi salam, you know, you find that Yunus alayhi salam gave up, but the people ended up repenting. With Hud alayhi salam, Hud stayed course, but the people were destroyed. With Yusuf alayhi salam, he did not leave voluntarily in any way. Yusuf alayhi salam was abandoned, but Yusuf alayhi salam would rise, and his family and his people would come as well. So it's a success story on both fronts when it comes to Yusuf alayhi salam. So there's a beautiful connection between these three things, between these three names and the succession of these surahs. Yusuf alayhi salam also includes the very, very sensitive elements of family. Rejection from family is the most difficult form of rejection. Yunus did not have to face rejection from his family. Hud did not have to face rejection from his family. So what we see with Yusuf alayhi salam is the rejection of family. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, his life parallels the life of Yusuf alayhi salam. So Yusuf's story is given to us in one shot, which is unlike any of the other stories. SubhanAllah, every other story, you find that the stories are in different parts, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlights different aspects of that story so that you could take the lesson that fits that particular surah. So the theme of that surah is what's going to dictate what elements of the prophetic story you're going to hear in that particular surah. Surah Yusuf is the entire story of Yusuf alayhi salam. Why? Because the story of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam parallels the story of Yusuf alayhi salam. Yusuf was the most beloved of his people. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was the most beloved of his people. Yusuf was abandoned due to jealousy by his brothers, due to envy by his brothers. So they threw him into the well because of their envy for him. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was rejected by his family members and by his tribesmen and by the people that loved him and that admired him, because he was not from their tribe, and his own family members abandoned him as well. So the Prophet ﷺ was abandoned, just like Yusuf ﷺ was abandoned. The Prophet ﷺ lived in a prison in the boycott, in the era of the boycott, just like Yusuf ﷺ went through an era of prison, literal prison. The Prophet ﷺ would be accepted by a people that would love him and recognize his value, just like Yusuf ﷺ would be taken in by a people that would love him and recognize his value. The Prophet ﷺ would rise to power and come back to the land of the people that abandoned him. And the people that abandoned him would submit themselves to him, the same way that Yusuf ﷺ would rise to power, and the same people that abandoned him would now submit themselves to him. So the slander that Yusuf ﷺ faced is the slander of the Prophet ﷺ. There are so many things. But the point is, the story of Yusuf alayhi salam parallels the story of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and so it came down in one shot to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what year was it revealed? It was revealed in Aam al-Huzun. It was revealed in the year of grief. And so that's why the scholars say it's sunnah to recite Surah Yusuf in Huzun, in depression and grief, because it was revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the year of grief. So it's an entire surah. And you can find the parallels. Yaqub alayhi salam, who Allah mentioned, the only bushra, subhanAllah, the only glad tidings in Surah Hud was in Ishaq and Yaqub. Yaqub alayhi salam telling his son, لا تقصص رؤياك على إخوتك فيكيدوا لك كيدا. Don't tell your brothers about your dream because they will plot against you. They'll be jealous of the position that Allah gave you and they will plot against you. And what did Abu Jahl say to about Banu Hashim? What did Abu Jahl from Banu Makhzum say about Banu Hashim and the Prophet ﷺ? He told Akhnas ibn Shuraiq and Abu Sufyan, of course we know he's a prophet. Of course we know that the revelation is true. He says, but think about this with Banu Hashim. We can compete with Banu Hashim in feeding the pilgrims. We can compete with them in hospitality. We can compete with them in everything, but where are we going to get a prophet from? Where are we going to get a prophet from? So if we acknowledge that Banu Hashim has a prophet, then they're going to be above us. They will naturally be at an elevated status and we will be disadvantaged. So you find this same concept with the Prophet ﷺ, the reason why he'll face rejection. You also find that no one had more tahawwul in ni'am, which means a switching of fortune and fate, like Yusuf alayhi salam. So Yusuf alayhi salam went through hard times, he went through the best times, he was a prisoner, a slave, a king. He was the most beloved son, he was the abandoned son. Likewise, the Prophet ﷺ experienced every form of honor, slander, wealth, poverty, love, hate. The Prophet ﷺ experienced extreme enmity, an extreme adoration, and just like Yusuf alayhi salam, the Prophet ﷺ maintained a course of ihsan, a course of excellence. Also, the enemies that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will mention to us in Surah Yusuf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the brothers. قَالَ قَائِلٌ مِّنْهُمْ لَا تَقْتُلُوا يُوسُفْ. One brother said, let's not kill Yusuf alayhi salam, وَأَلْقُوهُ فِي غَيَابَةِ الْجُبْ, and instead put him into the well, and so on and so forth. So one brother was not as evil as the other brothers. And so with the Prophet ﷺ, the Prophet ﷺ also recognized in the Battle of Badr that not all of the enemies are the same. That there are some people that are out there because they were forced by peer pressure. There are some people that don't want to kill. They do want to fight, but they don't want to kill. Some people are hoping to take us as prisoners, but they don't want to massacre us. Some people want to massacre us and celebrate over our dead bodies. The Prophet ﷺ recognizes that everyone is different in the Battle of Badr. They are not all the same. So Allah mentions Yusuf alayhi salam, the beloved son, when he has the dream, the sign of revelation, the sign of prominence, and the reaction that came as a result of that. When the Prophet ﷺ received revelation, the people of Mecca were not happy. They did not think to themselves that this is a glad tidings for us, that Allah chose one of our own, chose someone from our city and our people to be the greatest of all of His creation and to receive this revelation. Instead, they responded with hatred, they responded with driving him out, and the Prophet ﷺ did not expect that. Just like Yusuf ﷺ would not have expected as the beloved son that his people, that his own family members would abandon him. The Prophet ﷺ, when Waraq ibn Nawfal told him that I wish I could be with you when the people turn you away, when the people run you out and drive you out. The Prophet ﷺ says, أَوَ مُخْرِجِيَمْ, are they really going to turn me out? Are they really going to do that to me? Yusuf ﷺ would not have expected that, and the Prophet ﷺ did not expect such an evil response from his people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the sadness of Ya'qub alayhi salam, the false plot and the lies of the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam. And there's a parallel here as well, that the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam, they brought forth the shirt of Yusuf alayhi salam covered in blood to say that Yusuf alayhi salam was eaten by a wolf. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused the pact that the contract of the boycott that they made against Banu Hashim, against the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and boycotted the Prophet ﷺ as a result, and they hung it in the Kaaba, Allah caused it to be eaten and devoured. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's an equivalent there as well with the shirt of Yusuf alayhi salam, the plot of the brothers of Yusuf, and the plot of the brothers of the Prophet ﷺ in the broader sense, when they boycotted the Prophet ﷺ and abandoned him, and they put him in that difficult situation. Allah also mentions with Yusuf alayhi salam, شَرَوْهُ بِثَمَنٍ بَخْسٍ دَرَاهِمَ مَعْدُودَ, that when Yusuf was captured by the people, that the one who gave Yusuf alayhi salam away and the one who bought him, that Yusuf alayhi salam, they did not realize his value, right, as they were getting rid of him. And likewise, the people of Mecca did not realize the value of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam as they were driving him out. the value of this man. Ashrafu khalqillah, the most noble of Allah's creation. And Allah mentions Yusuf alayhi salam in prison in verse 33. And when Yusuf alayhi salam called out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or I'm sorry, when Yusuf alayhi salam was slandered and he was in a situation where he could commit zina, where he could give up on his ethics and his principles, and give into the wife of Al-Aziz, Yusuf alayhi salam decided to stay firm on his ethics, on his principles, and he said, As-sijnu ahabbu ilayya. That, you know what, O Allah, prison is more beloved to me than to do something that's displeasing to you. So I would rather go to prison and live the rest of my life rotting in a prison cell than do something displeasing to you by committing adultery with this woman. So I'm not going to compromise. The Prophet as well. What did he say? He said that, you know, even if they were to put the sun in my right hand or the moon in my left, or in a stronger narration, to give me a flame from the sun, I would not renounce this message. I'm going to stay put. I'm going to stay firm no matter what. And he says to Allah on the day of Ta'if, on the day of his most difficult life, I'm sorry, on the most difficult day of his life, he said, إِنَّمْ يَكُنْ بِكَ غَضَبٌ عَلَيَّ فَلَا أُبَالِي. As long as this hardship, O Allah, is not a manifestation of your anger upon me, then I am willing to stay course. Okay? I am willing to stay the course. So you see that with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you see that with Yusuf alayhi salam, and they face the hardship. And subhanAllah, the way, you know, where this juz actually ends, okay, it's so beautiful, it's so powerful, subhanAllah, is verse 52. And in verse 52 in Surah Yusuf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning the realization of the wife of Al-Aziz. The wife of Al-Aziz coming to her senses as a result of what she had done. And so it's almost a sign, subhanAllah, that the people of Mecca will come to their senses. Allah did not mention the glory of Yusuf alayhi salam yet, the turning point in the life of Yusuf alayhi salam. That's in the next juz. But the wife of Al-Aziz coming to her senses, realizing what she did, inna nafsa la amaratun bisu, that verily the self commands evil, وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي, that I'm guilty, admitting her own guilt and what she did with Yusuf alayhi salam, and so on and so forth. So the people of Mecca would one day wake up to their senses and they'd come to the realization of what they did to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So this is just 12, and inshallah ta'ala, tomorrow with just 13, we'll do the second half of Surah Yusuf and go into the rest of just 13. Jazakumullah khairan. I want to ask you guys, I noticed there's a fall off. Okay, there's a lot of people started off strong, but then you start missing videos and you start missing here and there. You start missing some sessions. Even if you miss the live session, make sure that you watch each and every single video, inshallah ta'ala. Make sure that you follow and you actually take notes and read the juz for yourself and write your own reflections, inshallah ta'ala. That will make tadabbur, an introspection and reflecting on the Qur'an, far easier for you, inshallah ta'ala, and hopefully more meaningful for you as you finish your khitmah as well. If you're having troubles with your khitmah, the recitation, finishing the recitation throughout the month of Ramadan, catch up. Don't fall off, inshallah. Keep moving forward. Keep trying to keep pace. If you missed one day, don't miss the next day. So keep it up, inshallah. Inshallah ta'ala, I'll see you guys tomorrow. Jazakumullahu khairan. Subhanallah wa hamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.